Justin Lewis, the founder of the UK-based lobby group CASISA, whose purpose is the prevention of the corruption of courts, joins me now on the line from the UK. Justin, thanks so much for chatting with us on The Home Run. This story just seems to keep escalating, and we now have a US lawsuit possibly targeting Ramaphosa. What has changed since the last time we spoke just a few days ago?
Hi, Paula. Just a correction, though. The lawsuit hasn't been lodged yet.
Okay.
This is just the preparation, therefore.
Okay, thank you.
What has changed since then is that the escalation of Iranian stroke U.S. Dialogue has intensified in the wrong way. So there's a lot of open aggression from the Trump camp in Washington remain deeply aggrieved at the deaths of U.S. citizens in the October attack against the State of Israel. And they are demanding not only the return of hostages, but particularly the their pound of flesh for the losses suffered and the enormity of suffering from the October 23rd, 2013 attack, 2023 attack. And that has appears to have gained momentum it's almost a form of silent warfare between the two parties, and in this environment, this claim is only growing with greater momentum. As an example, that people that harm U.S. citizens, whomever they are, even if they are the president of South Africa, through collaboration by aiding and abetting terrorist organizations, will be held to account and will suffer the consequences both financially and in sanctions. And government debt sanctions is, they believe, one of the most powerful messages one can send to the country, to the voters, because they'll feel it in their pockets if the cost to the taxpayer, South African taxpayer, increases to from £1 billion a day and upwards. It's a burden that they will have to share. Now, I think the purpose, and this is what I'm gleaning, is the same with Iran. There's a lot of pressure on parties in Iran that oppose the regime, are encouraged to advance their causes, and appears to be part of a greater strategy in the aftermath of the Iranian bombings, that the dispute and the support for Israel and peace in the Middle East is front and center, it's all linked together.
Justin, if I can just take us back a moment, in case a listener didn't hear our last interview, can you just sum up what we're talking about and where things stand at the moment?
Well, we're talking about investigations into the collaboration between Hamas and the ANC government 2023, and the application to the ICJ genocide application that flowed from there 2 months later. Which is now being examined as a result of that collaboration, might well have to be withdrawn at the very best. At the best, to be revised. In other words, the new South African government of unity wasn't part of the South African government that brought that application. Now, there's over 127, I think, countries that are supporting the application to the ICJ genocide, which will have to also withdraw, because if the application's withdrawn on a technicality. In other words, you cannot conspire with Hamas and then bring an application to the ICJ, because what you're doing then is acting as a conduit for a political agenda for a recognized terrorist organization. And that will undermine the entire purpose of the ICJ and in fact, the ICC. So it's a very serious issue, and it's going to have to be addressed. This is what we're doing. This is the paving the way for the work for that exercise, but more so, it extends beyond that to real relief for hostages of Israel, as a warning to others that if you attack and kill U.S. citizens, you will be held to account, particularly with the current Trump authority.
How are American victims able to sue President Ramaphosa? I mean, what gives US courts the legal grounds to go after a foreign head of state?
Well, Ramaphosa is the link between the old South African government, which is what then led by the ANC, now, of course, still president of the new South African government, the government of national unity. And he is the common link. In fact, he's the only common link. So he automatically became a target because if the corruption of the ICJ, as alleged, in the collaboration with Hamas, he knew about it, then he's equally accountable, and it just is a very convenient, I would imagine, expression of anger at a direct target rather than a political government. So I think he's an unfortunate place at an unfortunate time in history, because this is one place you don't want to be when the Trump campaign, as evidenced by its bombing in Iran in the 12-day war, is now moving into first gear with full reparations against Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran, it's going to be devastating. But where from my discussions and my meetings with my US clients is that they are determined, and they have pinpointed these two avenues of achieving the most effect as a signal to world leaders and to governments worldwide that support terrorist organizations, particularly when American citizens' lives are at stake.
Justin, you've said that Ramaphosa must distance himself from state capture style actions in Durko. What do you believe he knew, and when?
Well, this is the multi-dollar question. I must remember, the briefs I send are sent as a South African who has the deepest interests of the future of South Africa at heart. And so as far as I can, I'll send the warning through these briefs to say attention must be done. In other words, and I said it quite clearly in those briefs, that I recommend, as Ramaphosa did with Palapala, that you appoint independent legal counsel so that parties like ourselves can approach him and say, this is the unequivocal evidence of the collaboration. You're going to have to amend your genocide application to fit this accordingly. It doesn't mean that the genocide application is dead, as far as the allegations and concerns of the plight of the Palestinians is concerned. What it means is that you cannot approach a court with dirty hands, and you cannot conspire to use the international courts as a conduit for political agendas, no matter what they are. And that message has to be sent if the international rule of law is to have any hope of surviving.
Justin, we're getting some comments and questions from listeners. Ronnie saying, I guess now we know why Ms. Pandor called Hamas to congratulate them. She was pleased about the money being spent so well. And there is a question coming in from Ruth Friedman saying, how long is it going to take for Ramaphosa to be prosecuted?
Well, it's the early stages. It's now June. I would imagine that you will probably see the surfacing in some kind of official capacity within 3 months. And from then, once the U.S. Department of Justice and the agents involved sink their teeth in it, then it'll move very quickly. But yes, Naledi Pandor, the history of that, I think, is well published. The problem that the Ramaphosa has is he has gone off on the international stage on numerous occasions, claiming his full support for the ICJ application. If it is now proved to be flawed, then he'll have to do the equal rebuttal. But more particularly for South Africans, because if South Africa continues to be regarded as an enemy of the U.S., you can expect this and worse to follow. It's the storm, in my view, is just beginning, and it needs to be addressed. And this is an issue that the Democratic Alliance, which I copied in that brief, needs to take aware of, because they're part of the new government of national unity. Do they want to share this legacy debt, which could cost the taxpayer these enormous amounts of of costs in servicing legacy debt.
I mean,
created through collaboration with Hamas.
I mean, you said earlier that sanctions on the South African government debt could cost us taxpayers an extra billion rand a day. How close are we to that becoming a reality?
That is probably the most, the quickest, because there are in Congress, through my clients, steps already afoot for that very purpose. The way it works through the wheels of this African, I mean the U.S. political system, depends on Congress and on the Senate, and the mood they're in relating to the Middle East crisis, and that crisis is very live and very real. In fact, the most important that they're facing at the moment. So it has their attention.
Another comment coming in from Ronnie Hershovitz saying Israel must join forces with America and sue the pants out of this rotten government. Is Israel involved?
No.
And will they become involved? I mean, would it not be an advantage?
Well, I don't think, and I've had this discussion, there's four different lobby groups that I work with. The Israeli, they've got skin in the game. So this has to be seen as an international effort. It's an important because America is leading it and wants to be seen not just as an ally of Israel, but an ally of Western ideals. So yes, certainly at some stage, I imagine that they would become involved, but not at this stage because they have their own agendas, and I don't think it would. We don't want the defense of the international rule of law. And of the sanctity of the International Court of Justice is an issue that affects us all and is not just an Israeli issue.
Justin, you mentioned earlier the ICJ and the ICC, and you've accused them of being used for political ends. In simple terms, what exactly are you alleging happened there?
Okay, the allegation is quite simple. Through the collaboration with Hamas, it automatically sullies the waters of any application to the ICC. Because again, if it's the purpose to the ICC is to promote a political agenda, the application is dead in the water. And that's not because the court has any view in it or anybody has any view in it. It's just the rules of court. You cannot approach the court with dirty hands. And if dirty hands are proved, then the entire application, no matter its merit, would have to be reviewed. And it's as simple as that. However, in this situation, the implications are far wider, far more serious for South Africa. And the political forces that are keen to see that, when I say that, particularly the U.S., because of the death of U.S. citizens, has never been stronger. And that's why I believe it's going to happen very, very soon.
Justin, if it's proven that parts of the South African government coordinated with Hamas before October the 7th, what could actually happen to those involved?
Well, to those involved, because of the power of the old government and not of the new government, then a censure. So the threats to them are far less than half to Ramaphosa, and I believe that's probably why the president has been chosen, because he is still the permanent link between the two, the old and the new. And he's spoken clearly on the international stage in support of Hamas. And the irony is, President Ramaphosa has put his name forward to negotiate in the Ukrainian conflict. In fact, recently in the attack on Iran, he again offered his services as a peacemaker. But this would undermine all of that and would undermine his entire credibility as an ability to negotiate anything if he himself is proven to have known of the collaboration. It would be the end of his political career, which I'm sure is something that Helen Zille and others would be very interested in, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is, how do we limit the damage to protect the South African people that are alive today and working in and trying to get an economy going, while at the same time granting the US their right for justice?
And just to shift slightly, the South African company MTN is intertwined with the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in Iran, through its partnership with Iran Cell. Could this open MTN up to terror lawsuits?
Oh yes, I'm well aware of the MTN link, and I'm well aware There's a whole world behind these scenes that is linked to the highest espionage and abilities from Mossad through to the U.S. intelligence services. And if they could blow up Hezbollah's phones, they certainly knew what was on those phones. And that's one of the sources that is aware of the collaboration. Now, that's not the sources that I prefer to, and it's not associated with my clients. But it is certainly, one gets the intelligence that comes in is quite possibly from those sources. And the MTN link is being pointed out time and time again. That worsens the South African position. It doesn't strengthen it.
No, of course not. I mean, do you think the U.S. could impose sanctions on MTN for aiding and abetting Iranian terror and that of their proxies? And if yes, what would be the ramifications?
Well, that's they're talking about it already. But how effective? You see, it's a bit like Trump and the bomb he dropped on the nuclear site. Where would the bomb be preferably create the greatest impression? Dropping it on MTN or dropping it on Ramaphosa? And the answer is clear.
But
the president is a bigger target.
But could Ramaphosa also be sanctioned, having been the head of MTN while it was aiding and abetting the head of the snake, which was the IRCG?
Okay. Now, yeah. Well. Those allegations and the you entering then into the world of major espionage of the old IRG network and Mossad, and that's to do with counterintelligence. It's a slippery slope. We try and avoid that at all costs because our focus is on one thing and one thing only, and that's the protection of the independence of the courts, in this case, the ICJ. We believe that once you've dealt with that issue, then the rest will follow. But yes, I'm well aware of MTN. I'm well aware of all that history. But one has to be careful not to be distracted. Our focus is different to that. As Americans' focus is on American citizens being killed, and that includes UK citizens, and where America goes, UK will follow, and so will Europe. So that also affects not just the sanctions on political debt. There are issues of South African banks operating in the US, UK, and EU market, under banking charters that will be directly affected. So the implications are not just governmental; they are economic. In the sense of private business, as the effect of this whole campaign will spread, there will be no one unaffected from someone buying a loaf of bread in Khayelitsha to a banker in Ireland to the future of South African politics. Everybody will feel the unless, of course. One addresses the issue, and that is the entire and sole purpose of my sharing those briefs with the president's office, and then the warning to the G7 meetings, is that you can deal with these issues, be front and center, and I suggest it and I recommend again, and I recommend for the 100th time, appoint a senior counsel to receive these allegations, the evidence relating thereto, and let them come up with a legal opinion. At least you can say then. First of all, that I didn't know about the collaboration, and B, once it's proven from your own counsel, they can say we're shocked and et cetera, and assist America and any other parties that has been offended and hurt and damaged accordingly. And that would bring relief not only personally to the president, but we're bringing relief to the South African taxpayer, this enormous risk. Because, it's a pragmatic, in my view, thing to do, and as a pro-South African, that's the path I see forward. I don't know if Alan Zoll might have other ideas than the DA saying this is the perfect opportunity to say we told you so and get rid of Ramaphosa. But I don't think that's, in my view, the best interest of the country. And I'm hoping Ramaphosa sees it the same way.